Okay, here we go. Let's jump into what we're going to talk about today, because I'm excited to kind of finish up, wrap up this series that we're calling Hand in Hand today. And I want to start off by reviewing in case you slept since last week or you forgot. But so far in this series, we've discovered a few principles concerning our finances. And the first principle that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is that according to Jesus, money is not a financial issue, but money is a spiritual issue. In fact, if you remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:21, Jesus said this. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, according to Jesus, our finances and our hearts are intricately linked. They go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. Money is not just a financial issue. It is a spiritual issue. And then we looked at another principle that we found in Scripture by looking at this story that Jesus told. And that principle is this, that we are not owners, but we are managers. In other words, the money that you have in your bank account is not yours. It is God's. David says in Psalm 24 that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Like, it is all God's. And what that means is that you and I, especially if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, you and I, we are managers of God's money. And last week we talked about how we can be better managers of God's money. And what we said last week is that usually when it comes to how we divvy up our money is that we live on our money. And if we have any money left over, we save some and then we give God the leftovers usually. But that Jesus calls us to flip that thinking upside down, to live in a different way, in that we are to do this. Look at Matthew 6:33. Jesus says this. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In other words, Jesus promises us that if we'll prioritize the kingdom of God, he'll take care of all of our needs and all of our all of the things that we spend all of our time worrying about. Jesus promises to take care of that if we will just prioritize his kingdom. And so we talked about how we're supposed to flip the order. That is that we should prioritize giving. We should give first, and then we should save second, and then we should live off of the leftovers. Well, I want to follow up on that way of that line of thought this morning and really figure out how we as followers of Jesus can live this out on a weekly and a monthly basis. And to do that, I want to look at a few verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't, we're going to put these verses up on the screen, but kind of give you some context. The chapters 8 and 9 out of the book of 2 Corinthians all deal with finances. Paul is addressing the church in Corinth and really challenging them to be generous. That's really what he's doing. He's challenging this church to be generous. And we're just going to look in our few minutes together this morning at just a few verses where Paul really speaks to us about how we are to be generous as followers of Jesus. I want to start reading in verse 6. Look at what Paul says. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Now, Paul is, if you read the verses before this, you can tell he's directly addressing finances. He's talking about money here. But we all know that this principle that we call the principle of sowing and reaping, it applies to all areas of life, right? You reap what you sow. Like if you reap or if you sow criticism, you're going to reap criticism back from people. If you sow kindness, you're probably going to reap kindness back from people. We just reap what we sow. I mean, like, think about it. It's called the law of the harvest, right? If you plant tomato seeds, you're not going to get pumpkins, right? You're going to get tomatoes unless you're a bad gardener. Then you'll get nothing. But the truth is that we reap what it is we sow. Whatever we sow. And that's the same is true with our finances. That is, if you sow with generosity, you will reap with generosity. I came across this quote from Rick Warren that he's talking about this verse, and I just loved it. I just wanted to share it with you. He says this, "The amazing thing is this. You don't just reap what you sow. You always reap more than you sow. God set it up this way because he wants you to become like him." I love that because that's our goal as Christians, right? To be like Jesus. He wants us to become like him. God is a giver, and the only way you're ever going to become like him is to learn to be generous. That's a little convicting, isn't it? When you're stingy, you're like the devil. When you're generous, you're like God. When you give it away, God multiplies it. So he starts off by saying we reap what we sow. And then he goes on in verse 7 and says this, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I love what Paul says here, because Paul wants us to know that when it comes to being generous, when it comes to giving, we should never feel pressure from some human voice to give. Like we should never feel pressured to be generous. If you ever feel pressured, like from somebody who's on a stage or somebody from with a microphone to give something, then we shouldn't give. And which is why I want to be very clear this morning. I don't want any of you to feel pressure from me to be generous. I do want you to feel convicted by the Holy Spirit and convinced of this truth by the Holy Spirit, absolutely, but not pressure from me to be generous. I want you to do what Paul says, to decide in your own heart, to make a decision, a personal decision about giving and about generosity. But according to Paul, this decision that we make about giving, it should come from an attitude within us where we're excited about giving. Because look, I don't think when God's generous towards us, he is reluctant with his generosity. I don't think he's up there in heaven kind of grumbling, oh, I got to give some more grace. They need forgiveness again. I guess I'll do it, you know? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, God's attitude, he gives, it's just part of his personality to be generous, right? And that's why I love what Paul says, that he says, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, when it comes to giving, our attitude is important. Now, if you're a parent, you know that, right? Attitude is important. Actually, if you work in an office, you know that's true. Attitude is so, so important, right? Attitude shapes everything. And when it comes to giving, God wants to have us to have an attitude where we give cheerfully, not reluctantly, not like we feel forced to by God, but where we're like, God, this is yours. I'm so excited I get to worship you through giving back some of what you've given to me. That's the kind of attitude that we're supposed to have. Now, let's skip down to verse 11. Look at what Paul says here. He says, you will be made rich. And we already talked about a few weeks ago that that's really not relevant to us because we already have been made rich, right? All of us in this room, we are wealthier than 98% of the world's population. I mean, if anybody around the world looks at us, we are already rich. So this is applied to us already, no matter what our income level is. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I love what he says here because he says that the reason you're going to be made rich, or the reason you already are rich, the reason we're rich, is so that we can be generous. Now, that's different from how most of us think, because this is how most of us think. If you're going to work tomorrow and your boss says, good news, you get a raise, what do you immediately start thinking? How can I spend this on me, right? You know, what do I need to buy? Ooh, I can upgrade. You know, I can do this, or I've been wanting to do this for a long time. We start thinking immediately when we get more that we can use that more on us. But that's not what Paul says here. He says that you've been made rich, you've been given more, so that you can be more generous. It's a different way of thinking, which is a reminder to those of us who call ourselves Christians that we should think differently about our finances. We shouldn't think the way everybody else does. Our first thought should not be, how can I spend this on me? But my first thought should be, how can I be more generous when I get more? Now, I'll be honest and say that is not my first thought most of the time. This is something I have to be intentional about, that I am working on, that God is convicting me about. This is a difficult way to think. But he says, look, you're going to be made rich so that you can be generous. But, and then look at the result, though. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's he's saying that when we're generous, there's a result to that generosity. Especially when we as Christians are generous in supporting the kingdom of God, that people who aren't a part of the kingdom of God will become a part of the kingdom of God because of our generosity. If that doesn't motivate you to give, I don't know what would. I mean, that we can have an impact in someone's present and their eternity because of our generosity with the finances that God's given us. But in light of what Paul says here in these verses, it leaves me asking a question. Well, I see you're convincing me, Paul, that we should be generous as Christians, but how? How are we as Christians supposed to be generous? Well, throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it's in there a lot of times, we are told that there are two ways that we are to be generous as God's people. They're with what's called the tithes and the offerings. I want to talk about both of those, kind of teach them to you. Some of you are familiar with this. This is just going to be a review. Some of you are going to be like, oh, that's what those words mean. I had no idea. So let's kind of talk about those for a little bit. Let's start off by talking about the tithe. Some of you know this, but maybe you don't. The tithe is just another word for 10%. That's what the word tithe literally means. It is a tenth or a 10%. And for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we are commanded to give a tithe. The first of what we give, we should give back to God. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses. This one's out of Leviticus. It says this, a tithe of everything from the Lord, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. In other words, this is a command to God's people that they are to give this 10%, this tithe. But he goes on in another passage in the Old Testament, in Malachi, we read this. Tells us where that tithe is supposed to go. He says this in verse 10 of chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe, not part of the tithe, the whole tithe, which is the whole 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, in this passage, God is speaking, okay? If you read earlier on, this is a conversation that God is having with his people, and God's talking here, and God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, what's the storehouse? Well, in the Old Testament, the storehouse was the temple. We don't have a temple now. So where's the storehouse? What are we supposed to do? In the New Testament, the tithe, the storehouse is the local church. That's the storehouse in the New Testament. And Malachi tells us that we're supposed to bring this 10% into that storehouse. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, those are all Old Testament verses. Those are Old Testament commands. We, especially if you grew up in the church, you know, if you're not a Christian, you're not thinking this, but if you grew up in the church, you're thinking, well, I don't have to live under those commands in the Old Testament. Have you read some of those commands in Leviticus? I mean, come on now. I mean, things, don't eat shellfish. I mean, most of us in here, like we give our life for shrimp, right? You know, crab. Yeah, serious? Lobster? I mean, we paid big money for that. Yeah, we don't have to follow those laws. I mean, Jesus never commands us anywhere in the New Testament to tithe. So that's just Old Testament stuff, Jonathan. Well, if you are thinking that, let me just tell you, you're partially correct in your thinking, but completely incorrect in your train of thought. And let me kind of tell you why that is and show you where that is. Because Jesus, true, never commands us to tithe. But Jesus affirms the tithe bluntly, very, very bluntly. I'm going to show you a passage. This is in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is, he's rebuking the Pharisees and the religious leaders in this passage. But look at what he says. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, which none of us want Jesus to say that to us, right? You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. Now think about that for a minute. Like these guys, they were so super religious, they didn't just tithe on their income. Like they had a little herb garden growing out behind their house and they would tithe on their herb garden. Don't bring any of your basil or any of your oregano. Actually, if you want to give it to me, that's cool. I'm all good with that. But seriously, that's just that. They were like, they're so super religious, man. They're tithing on their herb garden. Can you imagine? Just that's crazy. But then look what Jesus says. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. In other words, you're tithing on all that stuff, but you've neglected other parts of the law that are just as important, that are equally as important as tithing, justice and mercy and faithfulness. And then he says this, you should have practiced the latter, that's the justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former. Like you can't neglect the tithe. You should keep tithing, but don't tithe as a substitute for all the other things. You should be doing both, Jesus says. He affirms both things here. Very clearly, I think Jesus wants us to know that the tithe is something that should be expected of those of us who are followers of Jesus. Here's what I love about commands in Scripture. Most of the time, when God commands us to do something, there's a really good why behind the command. There's always a really good why behind the command. God just doesn't throw out random commands and say, because I said so, you know? Even though that is a valid line for a parent to say to a child. God never says that to us. There's always a good why. And I want to show you really a couple of whys behind this command to tithe that are found in Scripture. The first one is this, and I want you to write this down because I want you to remember this. Tithing, first off, it teaches us to put God first. You ever thought about that? Tithing teaches us to put God first. In Deuteronomy 14:23, it says this as clearly and explicitly as it can. So the purpose of tithing, here it is. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. See, God knows, Jesus knows, that what we do with our money says a lot about what's going on in our heart. They're connected. And when we tithe, when we give God that 10% first and foremost, it teaches us, it reminds us on a regular basis that God is supposed to be first in our lives. It teaches us to put God first, which is the place he wants to be in all of our lives. But not only that, not only does tithing teach us to put God first, tithing does this. Tithing increases our faith. Tithing increases our faith. I read the first part of Malachi 3:10 a minute ago when it said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may food in my house. The second part of that verse says this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. This is God talking, reminder there. God's talking, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. What I love about this is the only time in the Bible where God tells us to test him. It's almost as like God saying, hey, I dare you to tithe. I double dog dare. I triple dog dare you to tithe. That's basically what God's doing. Just, I dare you to tithe. And see if I don't bless you. See if I don't abundantly bless you. Now, don't hear what God's not saying here. God's not saying what some TV preachers say or what you heard somebody say in the past, that if you tithe, God's gonna make you rich. That's not what he says here, right? What does he say? He says if you tithe, he's going to bless you. Now, could he bless you with finances? Absolutely. But there are a bunch of other ways that God could bless you. He could bless you with a healthy family. He could bless you with kids that grow up to follow Jesus. He can bless your business. He can bless your relationships. He can bless you in your walk with him and in your relationship with him. There are enormous number of ways for God to bless us. And he promises that if we're faithful in this one area of the tithe, he will bless us abundantly. So why should we tithe? Because tithing teaches us to put God first, and tithing teaches us to live by faith. It increases our faith. Now, let me just say, there are a number of ways that you can tithe here at Hub City. Some of you practice those every Sunday when we get together. We pass a plate around, you know, and some of you put money in the plate. This morning, we're actually gonna pass popcorn buckets around because we used to do that in the theater and it was awesome, and Movies in the Park's coming, so we should do that, you know? So we got popcorn buckets we're gonna pass around today. Please don't throw your trash in there. But some of you do that. There's a little envelope in your bulletin. Some of you put your tithe in there. You put cash in there, whatever, in your name. But I want to tell you guys about another way that you can make this a regular habit, and that is on our new website. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we just launched a brand new Hub City Church website this week. I didn't tell you, but I wanted you guys to be the first to know about it today. This is the new website. Ooh la la, thanks to Trey and Leslie for setting this up. It's got a lot of great information on it. Brian, you can come on down. But one of the things that's awesome about this website is that we have a brand new online giving platform on the website. And I think it's on. And I'm gonna let Brian talk you through how to do that. I'm really excited about this because...
Great start.
Huh? Yeah, we need the Wi-Fi. Yeah, it's important. Is it working now?
Yeah, one second.
Okay. that's really funny.
Great job, guys.
Thanks. I don't really have anything to say right now after that. But the reason I'm excited about this is while I'm on my sabbatical this summer, I can still continue to tithe here at Hub City. And I'm going to let you tell about it because I think that'll be really good. So go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I was just going to come up here and pressure everyone to give money, but then Jonathan said that wouldn't be a good idea. So we started on this, I guess, back in October of last year to like make a new place to track everyone's giving. So we've been doing that online or in the system, and now this is kind of like the final stage of it, where you can now give online. So if you will, Trey, do you want to log out and just see how it looks? So basically, giving online, like we've had like a mishmash of ways that you could give online if you don't bring your checkbook or you don't bring cash on Sunday. So we had like PayPal that you could do. We had Easy Tithe that I think one person did. So we kind of like had all these different ways, and we said, okay, We're going to consolidate these. Trey also had a place that will do it for cheaper. So when you give, like with a credit card or with a check, basically the company that processes that wants money. So PayPal, like, takes some money out. It takes, like, 3% out and 30 cents, I think. And so there's one that's a little bit cheaper, and you can do it online and then keep up with your stuff. So if you are just on the website and you go to Give Now, you will be able to just immediately put in $10,000. You can set up some information if you haven't logged in. So if you're just going to the website and doing it, then you've got to put in your information, your first name, last name, address, email, all that good stuff, so that you can get a little email telling you thank you. And so that the other good thing about this, or the other reason that those of us that are kind of doing the stuff on the back end like it, is it will automatically match it up with your account, and you'll be able to, like, we don't have to go and key it in. Like, right now, everyone that gives online, like, we go later and, like, oh, you know, this person gave $20, key it in. To give them credit for that. So it'll automatically match it up. And if you log in, we log in and see what Jonathan's been up to.
We're a little worried what I've given.
Yeah, the fake account that we made for you. So yeah, if you log in, then when you're going to give, you'll see it already has your name, your address. Yeah, we had to give you an email address, so.
Why do you have my email address, Brian? That's odd.
I didn't remember what yours was. But if you'll just get out your credit card, then we can continue on. So we've got options to do with the credit card or with the with your checking account, or I guess even savings account. And you can also set these up to be reoccurring. So if you're like me and you can't remember anything unless it's on your calendar, you can just set it up, say, every week, every month, every 2 weeks, for this money to be debited from your account. And then you've got the giving history. So if you don't like...
You can also, once you finish, securely save your card.
So yep.
If you want to give one time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Secure. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, it'll save your card. So if you don't want to type that in every time, if you don't have your card... And then you've got the history. If you want to see, if you're not going to wait till the end of the year till you get your little statement, you can see what you've been giving on a regular basis.
That was a good week.
Yeah. So
what's funny is you spend all this time typing all these decimal points in there, Trey. That's pretty impressive. So.
Yep. So. I mean, overall, it's pretty easy. It's going to be cheaper than giving through PayPal if you do that now, and it'll allow you to do reoccurring if you'd like to do that, and it will save the time of the people that are counting the money after every service from putting it in to the system. So it's a win all around. So if you have any questions, you can ask Trey, you can ask me. Nikki can probably help you as well, so if you run into any problems. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for joining. I'm really excited about this. One of the things that Trey mentioned about this is the company that is in charge of this, they don't take any profits from churches when you give online. They donate all those profits back to the church. And so that's really a cool thing. Some of you might want to use that. I just want to make you aware of that.
The address
is hubcitychurch.com. Yeah, hubcitychurch.com is our website. So that's good. Important to know. And you can do that on your phone as well as on your computer, anything like that. So go check out the new website now, not like at this moment, but in a few minutes, okay? So you want another black eye, Brandon? Just kidding, because you'll kill me. So we talked about tithing. Tithing is one way for us to be generous. The next way for us to be generous is offerings that Scripture talks about. Offerings. Now let me tell you what an offering is. An offering is anything over and above a tithe. It's a simple definition. It's anything over and above a tithe. Tithes are supposed to be given to our local church. Offerings can be given to our local church. They can be given someplace else. Take for instance, some of you have adopted one of the children from Vielo. That is sponsoring that child. That's an offering over and above the tithe. Liz and I, we've been sponsoring a couple who are Campus Crusade missionaries for the past 15 years. They're some friends of ours. Every month, we give them some money to help support them. That's an offering that we give that's over and above our tithe. That's what offerings are. What I love about offerings is that Jesus actually affirms and commends people giving offerings. There's this incredible story in Luke 21. I want to read it to you. Jesus is at the temple with his disciples, and it says this, starting in verse 1. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. I love that. Jesus is watching people giving their tithes and offerings. Can you imagine? I mean, no pressure. But Jesus is sitting over there, who knows, his arms are crossed. He's just watching people dropping their money in. And it says, he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. If there's ever a story that should kind of spark a little bit of guilt in all of us, I kind of think it's this story right here, because what you have here are all these rich people who are putting in their money, which is us, right? We're rich people. They're giving their money, but they're just giving out of their wealth. But here you have this poor widow who puts in all she has to live on. And it caught Jesus' attention. When we're generous, when we give offerings that are over and above, it catches his attention, is what we see here. He honors us when we honor him by giving offerings. And just as a reminder, an offering, it should never replace your tithe, but it should be over and above our tithe. And we can give it wherever. There's no kind of, this is exactly where you should give it. God gives us freedom in ways for us to be generous. So in light of what we've talked about how we are to be generous with our tithes and with our offerings, can I just tell you what I really want you to do? I want you to make the decision to be obedient to what God says and to make tithing a regular habit. To be obedient and to make tithing a regular habit. Just like you make reading your Bible a habit, just like you make coming to worship a habit, that you would make tithing a habit. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you, especially if you're here and you're kind of new and you don't really know me all that well, you're like, well, there it is. He just wants our money. Jonathan wants our money. But I just want to remind you of what Paul said. Paul says, each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I don't want you to feel pressure for me to give. But here's what I do want for you, especially if you call yourself a Christian. If you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I want you to live a life of obedience to Jesus. And this is a part of living a life of obedience. So I'm not after your money, I'm after your heart. I want you to have a heart that's obedient to Jesus. And I know what some others of you are thinking. You're like, I want to do this, but I don't know if I can afford to tithe. I mean, 10%, let's be honest, that's a significant amount of money, right? For some of us, it's more than others. I mean, 10% is a lot. I don't know if I can afford to give. Well, here's what I know about all of us in this room. If you were to go into work, think of it this way. If you were to go into work tomorrow and your boss were to say, come here, we got to have a little meeting. Times are tough in the company and we're having to cut everybody's salary by 10%. You'd figure it out, wouldn't you? You just figure out how to live. This past year, Liz has cut her hours down at work because she's going to school. She went from working three 12-hour shifts to working two 12-hour shifts a week. Significant cut in our income. You know what? We figured it out. We just figured it out. We figured out how to do it. We had to cut some things. I think all of us in this room are smart enough to figure out how to be obedient to this. The question is, are we going to be obedient to what God has called us to do with his money? Now, I know some of you in this room, this is a waste of your time, basically, because you've been tithing for years. I know some of you have been Christians for like 60 years. You've been tithing for longer than that. You know what I mean? Because your mama made you bring it in your little Sunday school envelope or whatever. You know, you've been tithing forever. And this is just such a regular habit for you. If that's you, I want you to ask yourself another question. Not am I tithing, but am I being generous? Am I being generous? Because for most of us who've been tithing for years, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost us anything. We've been, but that doesn't mean we're being generous. So what do you need to do to be generous? to develop the heart that's like your father's, who is generous towards us. See, I want us to be a church, Hub City Church. I want us to be a church family that is characterized by doing all that Jesus commanded us to do. And part of that all has to do with handling the finances that he's given us. Remember what Jesus said. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? If you look at where your money goes, it's a good indication. Let's become a group of people whose hearts are Jesus's, and we show that with how generous we are with the finances he's given us. Let's pray. God, I just thank you, first off, for your generosity towards us. It's really overwhelming and amazing. We don't deserve all that you've given us. We're just grateful recipients of your generosity. And I want us to be a church that really reflects that in how we treat one another and how we forgive one another and how we love one another, but also in how we manage the finances that you've given us. God, help us as a church family to be obedient to the commands to tithe. That, Lord, you would, by your Holy Spirit, convict us when we don't tithe and convince us of the need to do that. And then for those of us in this room who've been tithing for a while, would you just convict us of our heart when it comes to generosity, that we would be generous people. Thank you for the ways that we have to give. I thank you for our new website and how easy it is to give online. And Lord, we just, through our gifts, want to give you our heart. Speak to us. Help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.